I've set my heart, and these things really work that we preach and teach and do in here, but you set your heart just to stay at peace and know that God's taking care of you. And, you know, most of us just kind of really sometimes not only complain about the wind, but we complain about the process of life. And we just want to, we were talking about earlier with some just, oh, I can't wait till this comes, right? Oh, I wish we were back in those days. And it's like, man, to live in the moment is just to embrace the process that you're in at that time and not fight it and enjoy it. And it's you know, I've said this to Jody so many years. He always says, oh, I just don't like the process. I said, then you don't like life, because life is a process, right? You plant a seed and it takes time to grow. It's just life. And so sometimes just changing that attitude can make you happy. And after 9/11, Elise and I just definitely agreed that if we ever had a delay, if we ever had a flat tire, if we ever had anything, we were just going to go with the flow, because it could be saving our life. And we'll be at the right place, right time. So I'm totally at peace with the deal. We're going to just keep on building the kingdom of God. A lot of good things happening. When it comes down to, you know, this is January and starting a new year, one of my minister friends just put something on Facebook. I appreciated it. He just said, set realistic goals. You know, sometimes we set these high goals and then we fail, and then we start losing confidence in ourselves. And if you're a golfer, sometimes some of the golfers, when they're practicing their putts, they start just a few inches away from the hole and tap it in so they can't miss. And it just starts building that mentality that I'm hitting. And then they go back farther and farther and farther. And there's so much to be said just about your heart attitude and your mindset. And so I just thought that was a good thing. Set realistic goals, not something that you can't hit or that's going to take a miracle. And then Andrew Womack always says this, and I appreciate that. He says, you just do the natural thing in your life. Let God add the supernatural. And that's a good word, too. We can't do the supernatural on our own, but we are supernatural people. So I want to read to you some scriptures here. And the first one is out of 1 John 2, and it says this, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know, and I've written to you because you do know the truth, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is in the truth. Man, I couldn't say that any better. I mean, we kind of messed it up, but it's just saying, I know you know the truth, and things I'm sharing with you are not because you don't know the truth, it's because you do, and you have an anointing. This word anointing is only used here in John. There's other words, Greek words that are translated anointing. There's not that many, but this one basically means to kind of smear you over with this grease thing, kind of like they used to anoint with the kings. But it also can refer to a special endowment. You have an anointing, a special endowment from the Lord to be and to do what he's called you to do. I'm going to read a little farther down in 1 John. It says this. This is the promise which he made to us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. Now, little children, abide in him so that when he appears, you may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. We have the promise of eternal life, and that eternal life doesn't start when we get to heaven. Eternal life is knowing him right now. So we're in eternal life right now. And we have this anointing from him, and it teaches us. And I love this because It doesn't mean that we don't learn from each other. It doesn't mean somebody else doesn't help us, and et cetera. But it is only, you have only one real teacher, and it is God. And it is the Spirit of God within you. And this, to me, this is so important because it is so easy. If you start looking at a man or a ministry, and I know you appreciate and I appreciate men of, and women of God, but we never cross the line, amen, to worship man. You know, there was a false accusation against me about 30 years ago. And one of the young guys came in and just said, "Did this really happen?" I said, "No, it didn't happen." He said, "I knew it wouldn't happen to you." I said, "No, you don't." We all are capable of falling, any one of us at any time. So really, we never trust each other. You say, well, that doesn't sound good. No, it's, I don't trust you. I don't trust me. I don't trust Elisa. I don't trust anybody but Jesus. I trust him. And because I trust him, now I can have a really good relationship with you because I'm not worried about you deceiving me, taking me, or whatever, because I only have one king, and he's Jesus. He's going to take care of me. And what can you do to me? You know? And that's one of the things, you know, when we were in Myanmar, one of the things we share with, you know, those people get to share is they literally didn't know if they, you know, there's times their life has been on the line. They could be killed. And the scripture comes alive then. He said, don't fear those who can take your, you know, take your body and kill it, because we're all going to die. You know, I, again, one of the things I just heard this week and something I've used a lot is just food for thought. But in 100 years from now, 150 years from now, we won't be here. It's not that long. And nobody's really going to remember us for the most part. How many of you know your great-great-grandfather real well? How many of you know his name? How many of you know the great-great-grandfather and what he was like? And yet, you know, here's a cool thing. You're going to get to meet them all. But right now, I'm just saying, it goes so fast. Don't sweat the small stuff, and everything is small. There, you know, praise God. And by doing that, you can live in the moment without so much fear that you have to make everything the right decision. It goes on to say here, you know, that trust him, that he's teaching you. And then it says this, to have confidence and not shrink back away from him in shame at his coming. And I know this is talking about the coming of Christ, but it's also to the coming of Christ in your life today. When Jesus comes to you today and to me today in those special moments like in the sun or just on the road or whatever else, don't shrink back in shame. He's your friend. He is your Savior. He's already purified you. Your mistakes aren't separating you. People even preach yet today, your sin is keeping you away from God. No, it's not. He took care of it. Your shame and guilt feeling will keep you separated from him. He'll keep you from hearing him clearly and enjoying him. But you have an anointing. I'm going to read to you now out of Exodus. Bezalel is who I'm going to read. Anybody remember that name? Exodus 31, 1 through 5 says this. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, see, I have called by name. I don't know, there's something special about that. When your mom calls you by name, especially when she throws a middle name in. You all know, huh? When I heard John Paul. Okay. See, I've called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Ur, from the tribe of Judah. I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding, in knowledge, in all kinds of craftsmanship, to make artistic designs for work in gold and silver and bronze, and in cutting of stones and settings and carving of wood, that he may work all kinds of craftsmanship. Far as I can tell, this is the first time in scriptures that the scripture uses the terms, I have filled him with my spirit. You know, back in my early days, 60s, 70s, there was a lot more discussion in the body of Christ about clergy and laity and the separation. And boy, there's even some stuff out there that said, don't touch God's anointed. And they were talking about, you know, don't come against the pastor or a preacher or anything, because that's God's anointed. And I remember talking to one of the businessmen. He ran a plumbing and a heating and air conditioning. We had great times of fellowship. Man, he loved the Lord. He was really into the Lord and into the Spirit of God. But he told me, he says, I've never figured out how to take Jesus into my business. And I thought, how do you keep him out of it? How do you fellowship? But there was this thought and mentality at that time of the separation between clergy and laity. And if you go back into some of the older churches, you'll notice a lot of times the pulpit is way up in the corner, and they put a robe on. And all that was to create this atmosphere of, I'm higher than you, I'm closer to God than you, I'm the anointed of God, listen to me. And from 1 John, he just said, no, it's not just the preachers that are anointed, it's you. You have an anointing. He will teach you. You have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Listen to him. Talk to him. Fellowship with him. Trust him. You say, well, I trust him, I just don't trust myself. No, no, you've got to trust him that he's bigger than you. It's his responsibility. You know, I remember in school, if everybody failed a class, we used to say, if everybody failed the test, it wasn't the students' faults. It was the teacher's fault. And once in a while, it's have some fun with God. Just say, man, God, if you don't get this across to me, then it's your fault. You're the parent. You're the boss. You're the anointed. You're the teacher, not me. And I've said that sometimes in God, but out of desperation, because I didn't know what he wanted me to do. And I just said, Lord, you gotta make it clear to me, you know. And if you don't make it clear to me, I'm not the smartest kid in the block. So if you don't make it clear to me, it's your fault. And this is what I usually hear from him. Oh, John, I love it when you talk that way. He says, because I can handle it. Praise the Lord. So here, his name means in the shadow of God or in the protection of God. I don't know about you, but I love, that's why we quote Psalms 91 all the time. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say unto the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. No evil befalls me. No plague comes near my tent. It's kind of cool, this guy, the first guy that God says he filled with the Spirit of God, Bezalel, says his name means in the shadow of God, in the protection of God. What a beautiful thing just to visualize yourself walking in the, you know, and thought what we talked about earlier, all these flights, all the different things that come, just know that you can dwell in the shadow. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to go to Ephesians. And it says this, Ephesians 1, verse 15. For this reason, I too, having heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints. So Paul's just hearing a good report about the church at Ephesus. And he just said, since I heard of it, he said, this has taken place in my life. And he says, I do not cease giving thanks for you. Do you know, there's something about it, I won't go into it now, but there's something powerful and of substance when you give thanks to God for people. It's important that when somebody's blessing you or whatever, give thanks to God for people. Say, God, I thank you for Bob. He's been a good witness to me. There's something of substance to that. There's something that takes place when we give thanks. Paul talked about it. He says, this whole thing that you're doing is producing a lot of thanks to God. There's something about the transmittal of power and of value when we give thanks to God for people's lives, for anything. So he says, I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. This has been stirring in me now for a few months, and especially in the last few weeks in my prayer life, for you and for my family. And boy, the song today, man, it's just always cool how the Holy Ghost works, isn't it? Man, that song is just really, man, I pray for you. I pray for my family. And I do this all the time. But there's times that God will bring an emphasis. And right now, there's an emphasis right now of praying. I prayed this prayer a lot through the years that Paul prayed. If Paul prayed it, you know, I think, yeah, that's good enough for me. I know a lot of you have prayed this a lot of years, but I think God is just emphasizing something here. I pray that you have a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. Here's the thing, folks. If God tells us to pray for things, if he's, you know, he tells us pray one for another, he says do these things. Some might say, well, can we control everything by what we're praying? No. There's things that you can't control. You can't pray and cancel somebody else's will. Man, I heard a guy once pray this. He just said, oh, Lord, take my wife because I like this other woman and I want to marry her. Do you think that's a good prayer? You think that's legal? No. Okay. But there are things. So maybe instead of asking, you know, let's put it this way. If you can pray one for another and pray for somebody that they get a spirit of wisdom and revelation, is it going to make a difference if you don't pray? I mean, here's the thing. If it doesn't have an effect on somebody, why do it? And again, you can't manipulate people. You can't overrule them, but you can create an atmosphere with them to receive. This is a lot of mystery to me in this area of prayer, but I just go with this. Man, what could it hurt? And then what could it help? And especially for my kids and my grandkids and my children yet to come and all of you, man, one of the most powerful things I pray for you is that you will hear from the Spirit of God. That your intimacy with him will be great. Why? Because you have an anointing from him, and he's going to teach you all things. And here's the point of today's message is really this. It's not just for those preachers. It's for each and every one of us. And here, the first time God says, I filled him with my spirit, it was for craftsmanship. It was for his job. By the way, this guy went on to build the temple out there in the desert, and this guy was an incredible craftsman. A lot of you are craftsmen. And that's an anointing from God. That's a call from God. That's an endowment from God. When you enter business, enter it in with the Spirit of God endowing you to do that work. Whatever job you have, it is not just, It's not just your secular life and, you know, and then you got your Christian life. Everything that you're doing, he is involved in, and he wants to anoint you. He wants to fill you with his spirit for the job at hand. If you're a mom, he wants to anoint you with that. If you're a bookkeeper, he wants to anoint you with that. Whatever you're doing, whatever you set your hand to, it's not a separation of these are spiritual things and these are secular things. You do the natural, and he does the supernatural in everything you set your hand to. That's, I tell you what, it's a perspective that will change things when you realize he's with you whatever you're doing. And he's got a surpassing greatness of power going into you to do it. But if you just think, well, this is just, I got to pay the bills, then all that doesn't have the impact that it could have. And think about just how many people walk to their job and it's just boring and they don't know why they're there and they wish they had something else. What if they walked in saying, man, God has anointed me for this period of time, however long I'm here, and he's anointed me and he's equipped me and I have a spirit teaching me and I'm going to make a difference wherever I go. Man, life becomes just so much fuller and so much more meaningful. And the truth is, it is the truth. It's not a lie. That's how here's the problem, I personally think this. I think one of the problems we've had in the body of Christ is we thought the ministers were anointed and they must do all the ministry, and that's the bulk of how God increases the kingdom. And to me, it's like, no. Unfortunately, and I mentioned a little bit, about evangelists that have got very big and popular. And in one way, yeah, that's great. But in one way, it's like, man, that should not have to be. We shouldn't have to be depending on one or two great anointed people to win the world. It's really not working that great. Billy Graham said, of all the people that came forward, all those thousands of people that came forward all over the world, in 5 years, they followed it up, and usually there was 1% of those that came forward there are doing anything with their spiritual life. So drop all those numbers that you hear down to 1%. Out of 100, only one's maybe even walking with the Lord. You know what? I say, boy, if you touch somebody at the workplace, it's way more effective because it's a relationship, and you got them. It just... we've missed it sometimes by not recognizing that God is the Spirit of God wants to fill each and every one of us where we're at and what we're doing, and we build the kingdom that way. I'm telling you, we'd win the world way faster than having all these. What is evangelism? The Bible, Paul said this, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, the apostles are all there to equip us to do the work. And somehow we miss that. You're pastoring people. You're evangelizing. You're teaching people all the time by your behavior, by your walk, by your testimony, by everything. And then the words that God gives you. And if you enter into your job and you're going to your daily activities with this thought in mind, I'm anointed for this. God has given me a spirit of revelation. I have an understanding. I have wisdom. I'll be a problem solver at my job. But also I'm a kingdom light displayer to everybody around me. I remember I was doing business with a guy and I was renting my place out to him, to a building to him to do his mechanic work. And I was feeling bad because I'd go over there and talk to him, but I'd never said anything about Jesus to him. And I was feeling kind of bad about that. But later on in his life, he got MS and he put a 30-06 to his throat and went to pull the trigger. His wife came in, stopped him, and then he called me and said, can you help me? I went over and just said to him, man, Casey, I'm not a counselor. I don't have anything to offer you but Jesus. And I'll never forget his answer. He says, why do you think I called you? It was humbling. I go, huh? This isn't shocking you? No, he said. John, I said, I've watched you for the last 10 years. I know. What you have is what I want. Teach me. It was awesome. Really awesome. And it's the same way with you. You may not even understand how God is shining through you, but he is. But when you get in agreement with him and you start confessing what he says, you say the same thing that he says, and you start seeing yourself that way, and you just start feeling yourself that way, and you walk with confidence instead of saying, how many of us walk through life saying, well, gosh, I should do better. I should have lost more weight. I should have done this. Man, and you're just wasting energy and time. Well, why not say the truth? The truth is you are a child of God. Truth is you are holy and righteous. You are set apart, and he has anointed you. But you know, if you've been taught that anointing is only for the ministry and not for your craftsmanship, then you won't take advantage. You won't even understand. You're not flowing in the flow of it. But when you realize, no, my everyday life, I do the natural thing. He adds the supernatural, and he is anointing me for what I'm doing right now. It just comes alive. And I've had times when God shined through me and he shined through you and we weren't even trying and we were in a dump and we were in a bad mood and he still shined through. How much more when we get in agreement with him and just sit there and go and know that we're just radiating hope to people. Hallelujah. So he goes on to say, surpassing greatness of power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of his strength and his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Man, when you start looking at this and your eyes start being open and said, man, it is not just me walking through life today wasting time until something great happens. It is a great moment. He's with me. He's shining through me. Man, just that belief system allows this supernatural great power of God to come out of us and touch people's lives. To God be the glory. Amen. It's not about you and me and our great works. And you want to think about Bezalel. God said, I called you by name and I got a purpose for you. And it's to be I'm gonna really lay it on you. And this guy, I mean, I tell you what, he was one heck of a craftsman. You read what he did and the artistic work, and he's the one that built the Ark of the Covenant and covered it with gold. And that thing is a beautiful thing. Don't you think it's kind of exciting that God is involved in our everyday life and wants to give us spirit, wants to give us wisdom and understanding in everything we're doing? Hallelujah. Far above all authority and power and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he has put all things in subjection to his feet, under his feet, and gave him head over all things to the church, which is his body, us, we're his body, and the fullness of him who fills all in all. God has filled us with his spirit. Lay aside your doubt, lay aside your insecurities, lay aside your fears. They're really not that much fun to carry through life, are they? And just say, man, he's anointed me, glory to God. I acknowledge it. And I'm praying for you that you have a spirit of revelation. You know, I get pretty excited about this as I name my grandchildren off, especially, you know, and you look at them and they got their different attributes and all that. And sometimes, you know, you got relatives and friends that aren't walking the right way, maybe. But then you just keep on praying. No, give them a spirit. It's actually a wind, by the way. Didn't want to mention that again after Elisa now. But the spirit is a wind. Give them a spirit of revelation, intimacy. You know, you're going to college, right? Tomorrow? On a brand new adventure, continuing on. And they say they're there to educate you, but the truth is you've only got one teacher. And he's going to give you a spirit of revelation, of understanding. And it's a big deal. It's a big deal. It's not about passing the grades. It really, go ahead and get good grades. It's okay. But it's really not about that at all. For all that he has for you, He's training you, equipping you. And you know what's really beautiful about it? When he called this guy, Bezalel, it was his joy to be good at what he was doing. It was his joy being creative, building all those things. What God's called you to do will release joy in you, in your everyday life. And so you're not waiting for some big miracle to happen. You're not just reminiscing about some great thing that happened in the past. You're living this moment right now with the God of all creation. And he's showing you great and mighty things. Hallelujah. Father, we receive your anointing. We just open up our hearts and we say, we'll take it. You've called each one of us by name. You know our name. And you know what you have planned for us. And there's not one of us that has a boring, unfruitful, mediocre life ahead of us. Each one of us have been called to a particular thing and ways and truths that will shine throughout eternity. We accept that. We believe that. We're not accepting the lie that we're missing the mark and we're losing out and we're never going to be right or do what's important. We accept the truth that we are now the children of God and we are shining for you. In Jesus' name, we do it all. Amen. Amen. I hope you just really embrace this in your everyday life. It just changes everything. Have a great week.